A murderer dies. Do we mourn? What do we do? Also, weight loss drugs, yes or no? Is it harder today for the next generation, or are they just whiners? Civil War movie opens, and should your doctor be an influencer?
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. I am so happy to be able to be here with you today. Ding dong, OJ's dead. Which OJ? That OJ. Ding dong, OJ Simpson's dead. Memories of the day Ronald Reagan died. I don't think I'll have to apologize for this one, though. Yesterday, OJ Simpson kicked the bucket. Prostate cancer is something that scares every man that's aging. Including me, mine's already enlarging, and you know, we all, every man, if they live to be 80, I'm told, will get some form of prostate cancer. That's just disgusting to know, but, anyway, so he passed away of prostate cancer, and in the news, they kind of didn't know how to treat it. Some of them said, you know, alleged murderer, acquitted murderer, you know, they didn't really know. Now, he was found not guilty in the trial that divided America. However, in a civil trial, he was found civilly liable for the murders. So you could technically say he was a murderer based on the civil trial. But the criminal trial, he was in fact acquitted. And I wonder if in today's world, with today's forensics, remember DNA was very new. Back then we had Barry Sheck up on the stand. He now runs the Innocence Project. That's where we met the Kardashians for the first time. Their father helped get O.J. Jackson free. O.J. Simpson, free. And so that trial divided America. I had a black friend say to me at the time, so what if he walks free? How many white men have killed black people and never gone to jail for it? And I thought, you know what? This is the problem with this trial, is that everyone's seeing it from a racial point of view instead of just a criminal trial. The man did it. He was guilty. You know, in my, it is my opinion and a civil court's opinion that the man did it and he was guilty. And, you know, I mean, come on, he accepted the endorsement from Butterball because no one carved white meat like OJ. But you know what I'm saying? So, but he lived in disgrace afterwards. He was not poor. They could not attach his pension, although any revenues after his death will go to the Goldman family, and rightfully so. But how do you know when a despot, when an alleged murderer dies, you know, and it's news because they're famous? Do you rejoice? Do you, what do? You say nothing. You know, you're just like, oh yeah, he's dead. I for one, just I don't care. I just did the little ding dong song just for those of you that remember the day Reagan died, and I, you know, but I could care less if OJ lives or dies. I really, you know, everyone knew. You know, and then he got convicted of, you know, stealing things here in Las Vegas and holding someone at gunpoint. And he was not a good guy. And so the fact that he's gone, I don't care. Should anyone die of prostate cancer? No, they really need to find a cure for pancreatic and prostate and other cancers. I'm sure the Goldman family hopes he suffered. But, you know, I don't hate him enough to hope he suffered. I don't like him enough to hope that he lived. O.J. Simpson had no bearing on my life. And I, for one, remember the trial. KFI covered the trial. Andrew watched the trial every single day on television. I would later meet Marcia Clark, share the stage with Marcia Clark. She came on KFI for a while, get to know Marcia Clark. Very odd that I, and Ron Shapiro, when I met him at the Streisand concert, Kirk Douglas, or not Kirk Douglas, oh my God, Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell and Goldie were talking to me and a few other people at the Streisand concert down front. And Goldman came up, the attorney, Shapiro, came up, the attorney, and asked, you know, said hi. And Kurt Russell said, oh, Karell, do you know, Richard Shapiro? And I was like, I don't shake the hands of people who got a murderer off. And it created quite a stir at the Streisand concert. But I didn't shake his hand because I wouldn't. But again, you know, his case showed the problem with the American justice system. And, you know, yeah, Donald Trump is in that same thing. When these cases get to be that big, justice sort of goes the way of the wayside. And that's why in Europe, they don't allow cases to get this big. They don't allow certain things to be said prior to the trials and all of that. I think we should take a more European view of trials than in terms of our media than what we have here now. But oh well, he is dead. He is gone. His story is over, and it is unfortunate that we'll never know for sure. Some people still believe he didn't do it. We'll never know for sure. I'm pretty convinced he did. But he's gone, and he died early, 77, I believe. That's pretty young. And prostate cancer is a terrible way to go. And in fact, this lawyer, did y'all hear from Las Vegas? This lawyer went into an office just 2 miles from here on Charleston, up by Town Center, by downtown Summerlin, which is really just a mall attached to Red Rock Casino. But he walked in and he shot a family member, like an ex, I think it's an ex-wife, her current husband and the lawyer. And the reason he did it, we just found out, is A, they were going to testify in a custody case involving his son. His son has kids, and the ex-wife was filing for sole custody, and he didn't want the ex-wife to get sole custody. So he went to this deposition to prevent them from giving testimony by killing them. And he killed himself. And the reason he killed himself, I just found out, is he was 77, had prostate cancer, went through the chemo and everything. It went into remission. Then it came back and went into his bones. He was in terrible pain. He knew he was going to die. And so he decided to stop this trial and take himself out while doing it, since he had terminal prostate cancer. So two cases of prostate cancer in the news: O.J. Simpson, and then this lawyer guy who shot other lawyers and a plaintiff in Las Vegas and Summerlin. So many shootings in the last couple of days. There was one in D.C. There was one at the Eid Festival, which is a Muslim festival for the end of Ramadan. And they're not even really reported anymore. Two dead here, three dead there, five wounded here. We don't even care anymore. We care about women having babies. Yesterday I had lunch, or actually Wednesday, I had lunch at Good Morning Kitchen here in Las Vegas. They have some great vegan options on Rainbow. And I met these two wonderful 30-year-old women, girls, women, whatever. If I were straight, I mean, oh my God, they were beautiful and had cleavage and fabulous makeup. And they were just wonderful girls. One's a yoga instructor, or going to be. In fact, she asked me, she goes, at 30, is it okay to change your life? I'm like, that's when you change your life, is at 30. And her friend who was here visiting. And they kind of gave me hope, for the future, because they're very level-headed and they seem very connected, and they didn't pick up their phones during lunch and stare at them instead of each other. They stayed very engaged in conversation. I was really, really happy about them. I don't know why I got off on that tangent. They were wonderful girls. It was a wonderful lunch. I had a great lunch. And then I talked to another guy who is an actor. He's going to go to an audition today. I hope he gets the part. And his girlfriend that was there. Just wonderful lunch I had on Wednesday. It was great just talking to people. But yes, OJ is gone, and the prostate cancer in the news from him and from this lawyer, and gun violence. Oh, because she said the same thing. This wonderful girl, she said, can you believe in Arizona they just enforced a law from 1864 to prevent women? Again, they're trying to regulate our bodies, and yet people are dying every day of gun violence, and they do absolutely nothing about that. And so even she made the correlation of, why are they bothering about abortions or gay rights or trans rights when there are so many bigger issues really killing more people that we should be, you know, focused on? And I said, honey, it's the art of distraction. That's what it is. All right. I want to do a personal thing here. I did a show on Wednesday about, well, basically Karen and a couple other friends who, you know, have basically decided to not be my friend anymore. And I guess they think it's something I did. Maybe I did do something. But they won't give me a chance to apologize for whatever it is and show them that I truly love them and still want to be their friend. So I was going to, how many of you email or call people that you shouldn't email or call? Like, they don't want to hear from me. They don't call me. They don't email me. They don't find me on social media. They would be happy if they never heard from me again, I guess. And yet I wanted to call Karen and tell her how hurt I was by what she did, inviting everybody from Thea to Ken and Dennis and not inviting me. and, you know, just tell her that I was deeply hurt by this. But why? She obviously would not care. So I wrote the full email, and then I just put it in the drafts folder. I didn't send it. But it did inspire me to write a song. And so since I told you all about this Wednesday, I want to read this to you. I wrote this in 5 or 10 minutes. People are amazed, like, God, you should be making money as a songwriter. Well, if anyone out there does music and what's called the top lines, the melodies, I'll gladly give them the lyrics. The chorus is, how do you not get hurt when it's someone that you loved? Even though you shouldn't, how do you rise above? How does pain not find you, though you know that they don't care? How's your heart not broken, even when they are not there? And the verse, it shouldn't hurt, I shouldn't cry. It's been some time since goodbye. You took your love and went away, left me alone to face the day. But when I hear of things you do, things that used to be me and you, when I hear how you moved on, for a moment all sense is gone and I cry. But how do you not get hurt when it's someone that you loved, even though you shouldn't? How do you rise above? How does pain not find you, though you know that they don't care? How's your heart not broken, even when they are not there? Move on, get over, don't waste my time. That's what I hear from friends of mine. Don't give your life another thought. Learn the lesson life has taught. That about my life you no longer care. Don't search for love that is not there. But how do you not get hurt when it's someone that you loved, even though you shouldn't? How do you rise above? How does pain not find you, though you know that they don't care? How's your heart not broken, even when they are not there? Bridge. Reason, season, or lifetime through, I always thought I'd share with you. But that didn't happen. You took your heart. I'll build a new family with a clean start. What you did was wrong, but right for you. So finally letting go is all that's left for me to do. Chorus, vamp out, as they say. So if nothing else, the whole event inspired me to write a song. So I got something positive out of it. And I will never call her and tell her how she's hurt me. And Ken and Dennis don't need to know how they hurt me. They don't need to know. So if there's someone in your life that you know you shouldn't contact, don't. Don't do it in a weak moment. Don't, because they don't care. And I know that's hard for you and me to understand sometimes. Well, how could they not care? We were friends for 40 years. How could they? They don't care. You know, that's the hardest thing in America for me. I look around at the climate and I think, you know, all these young people online blaming boomers for destroying the atmosphere, and yet they don't care enough to fix it. And they don't want to be told that. Oh, I'm hated online. I am so hated online right now on Threads. But, you know, they don't care enough about the planet to fix it. They just care enough about it to blame someone for it. Get off your ass, put down your phone, fix the climate. First of all, go vegan. That is the number one thing we can all do. Ember's having a field day today, by the way. The door is open. That is the number one thing we can all do to fix the planet. Go vegan. Period. And yet they're not. They're going to blame boomers for destroying everything, but they won't do it. All right, so goodbye, OJ. What else? Oh, and that leads right into the, is it harder for the next generation today, or are they just whiners? I'm being hated online because I said, look, it's hard for every generation. None of us were handed a fabulously privileged life unless we had rich parents. But if we don't have rich parents, it's hard for everybody. Oh, they don't want to hear that, honey. So what do you think? Am I wrong? Is it harder for kids today because the housing market is so out of reach? Rents are so high. Wages are so low. Do they have it? Do people under 40 have it harder than you did? I'd love to hear your comments below. Do people under 40 have a harder life today than you did? I didn't pay off my student loans until my 30s after we got our jobs at KFI. I mean, you know, we bought our first house with the help of another person. He, you know, gave us a little down payment and then we pitched in. He put it in his name. And then after we got the jobs at KFI, we went in ours. So is it harder? Yes or no? Is it harder today for people under 40 to get ahead than it was for you or I? I would love to hear your thoughts on that. I'd love it. Share them below. Down there. Go ahead, type. You can do it. Hey.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there. It's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support for the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
All right, you know, I have another question for you, too. First question, is it harder for people under 40 to get ahead, to buy a home, to do the things that they think we all did? I mean, I don't know how many of you out there had homes in your 20s that you bought. I certainly didn't. You know, we didn't get our first house until I was in my 30s. You know, if you weren't financially blessed with parents that could give you a down payment or whatever, if you were just out there working your job, you probably didn't buy your house until your 30s, maybe even 40s if you bought. Some of you still rent. These kids today, they have this notion that we baby boomers just hoarded all the wealth. You know, I'm technically a boomer. I'm 2 years before the cutoff point. So I'm really a Gen Xer. I'm a boom X. That's really what I'm at. I am a boom X or an X boom. I like that. X boom. I'm an X boom. Well, boomer comes first. I'm a boom X. You know, that's what I am. I'm generation boom X. I'm in between. And I did not have it easy. I didn't have rich parents. My parents did not inherit wealth from their parents. Their parents suffered through the Great Depression and such. So I had parents who were raised, you know, thrifty and the whole thing. We were poor. We lived in poor neighborhoods. I went to poor schools, shopped at thrift stores. And yet online, these people seem to think that I grew up in some utopia with all of my debt paid and no real worries about college because, hey, tuition was only 4% of your income and now it's 20. It was always hard. If you are not rich in America, it's always been hard and things have always been out of reach for you. They don't understand that. Now they think boomers should move out of their houses into assisted living so they can move in. Fuck that. Build more houses. If there's not enough houses for the young people today and they're mad at boomers for holding onto their property, that's fucked up. Build more houses. Build more cities. We've got tons of space. We could build cities everywhere with new houses, smarter houses, more affordable houses. California just insisted they build 26,000 new houses in Long Beach. You know, cities are being told to build more houses. This notion that old people are somehow to blame because young people can't find a house they can afford is just fucking ridiculous. So do you believe that people under 40 have harder time now than we did? That's the first question. Second question, because now I'm being called a horrible person online for this. A doctor, a resident, posted a thing and said, would you go to a doctor that's an influencer? Should doctors be influencers? And I said, hell no. I said, doctors should not have enough time to have a big online presence. They should be busy being doctors. And if they have free time, they should be studying, going to conventions. They should be, you know, they don't need to be online being an influencer. I don't like influencers, but it does take time. It's not like it's a 5-minute-a-day thing. You've got to film the content, edit the content, post the content, repost the content. I don't want my doctor distracted because let me fucking tell you when a doctor is distracted. Dr. Kushian in Long Beach was distracted. Okay? He wanted to be on me and Andrew's radio show. Every time we saw him, he pitched us a reason he could be on radio. He wanted to be on radio and TV, and he spent a lot of time trying to get on radio TV. And guess what? He missed things in Andrew's care that made me have to sue him when Andrew died, and we settled. He also went to jail in another case. So no, I don't want a doctor who wants to be on radio, television, online as an influencer. I wouldn't go to Dr. Oz. I wouldn't have Dr. Phil as my counselor. I want a doctor that's dedicated to medicine. And this doctor is saying, well, this residence, well, there's, you know, after all the deductions, we barely get minimum wage here in California. You know what? If you're not making enough as a doctor, then guess what? Find another profession. Or if you got to take a second gig, have it be in medical field, not an influencer. Start a clinic, get a grant, you know, whatever. But this notion that a doctor would have the time to be an influencer, you know, that's just ridiculous. Maybe, you know, if it's less than an hour a day that they would spend on it, okay. I mean, doctors have to have a pastime too. But, you know, the question was, would you go to a doctor that's an influencer? What about you? That's question number two. Question number one, do you think that people today, people under 40, have it harder than you or I did when it comes to educational debt, living expenses, you know, buying a house, renting a house, all of that? Is it harder? We know it's more expensive. My house was $198,000 when we bought it. And today, that's $440,000. They can get a house for $440,000 or a condo. So it's the same. It's equivalent. And the $53,000 that I was making then equivalent of that is about $80,000 now. And that the median income is $70,000+. So, you know, anyway, so do they have it harder? And would you go to a doctor that is also an influencer? You know, like, and believe me, doctors need free time and they need an outlet. And I don't want doctors to just be only focused on medicine. I want a well-rounded doctor who's rested, has a good life, happy social life, all of that. But should they be a, quote, influencer, unquote? How would you feel about that? Leave your comments below. All right, down below. Would you go to a doctor that's an influencer? And do you think kids today have it harder than we did? All right, the last thing I had on my list for today was the movie Civil War. It is opening this weekend. It is something. It's brutal. It's hard to watch. It's violent. It's about journalists covering the Civil War, basically. And it's about a Civil War that has broken out. I think it comes at a bad time for America, but, you know, what can we do? And as I, you know, I think about a Civil War a lot. And in the movie, which I saw an advanced copy, they make it seem very plausible. And the movie doesn't take sides. And you know what? That's my problem. That was my problem with The Rock when he said he's not going to endorse anyone because he's, you know, disappointed in the Biden administration. Well, so am I. You know, Biden signed the thing. I'm on, again, I've got people mad online because Biden started this gay outreach thing called Out With Biden Harris, and it's to get gay and lesbian votes. And, you know, he signed a bill that took away, they said that embassies can't fly pride flags now. However, he got medical funding for AIDS, and he you know, I guess there was 20 other things in there that were pro-gay, you know, like repealing trans bans, all this other stuff. He just had to give up the pride flags at embassies. And gays are like, look, if that's all he had to give up to get us all this other stuff, I'll take it. And my stance is, no, our right shouldn't be, oh, we can give up this right so long as we get that. You know, no, we shouldn't have to give up any rights at all. And I don't mean in a perfect world. I mean, just period. So I'm disappointed with Joe Biden, but I'm voting for him. Why? Because there is no choice in this next election. You either stand with a convicted felon, rapist, fraudster, traitor, seditionist, document stealer, you know, either hush money paying despot who wants to lead us into fascism, or Joe Biden. Now, there's no choice there. I don't care if you think he's too old. I don't care if you don't like his policies. There's no choice. And in the movie Civil War, it's like you have a choice as a filmmaker. To be neutral in a subject about Civil War, they're not neutral when they make Civil War movies about the real Civil War that happened. Everyone paints the South as wrong. You pretty much don't see Civil War movies that are sympathetic to the South. because there wasn't a choice there. You know? And it's the same thing in this movie. It's like, it should have had an opinion that civil war is wrong and that those that are fighting for the rights of people are not on the wrong side of the issue. You know, in this country, we act like there's two sides to every story. That's why media is so fucked up. They will put on a Democrat or a pro this or a pro that, and then they'll have some asshole Republican maggot come on to what? Refute them? There are some things that there are not two sides to. There are not two sides to every story, except the right and the wrong one. So I guess there are two sides, right and wrong. There's not two right sides. The media acts like on many issues, there's two right sides. Well, here's with one right side and here's with the other right side. No. When I was on CNN and all those other things debating gay marriage, there was no other opinion there. The notion that gay people should not be able to enter into relationships with those that they love, codified by law, and still can't. If that Supreme Court ruling is taken away, then bam, it goes away again. The notion that there's two sides to the gay marriage issue or to the gay issue or to the trans. Just today, Europe announced it is cutting drugs for trans youth for them to do their transition as a kid. Suppression drugs and such. They're cutting back on them. Leave trans people alone. Leave them to their doctors. There's no two sides to that. You should not have an opinion or a say or in any way, shape, or form be in control of anybody's body, including a trans person. How the fuck do people not get that? How in America do we have, quote, two sides to the abortion issue? There is only one side to the abortion issue, and that is none ya, which means none ya business. If it ain't you having the abortion, it's none of your fucking business. If you're not the doctor of the woman, none of your business. If you're not her husband or boyfriend, none of your business. And of course, her access should be legal. Of course, she'd be able to make whatever medical decision she wants. If you're not a trans person or the loved one of a trans person, guess what? None of your fucking business. And yes, medical and Medicaid and Medicare and every medical institution should pay for it. Every insurance company, they pay for Viagra. What we don't need is a bunch of stiff pricks. We got enough in this country. It's none of your business. And there aren't two sides to that. There aren't two sides to the abortion debate. There's no debate. See, we act like certain truths should be debated. When it comes to civil war, there's no fucking debate. There's a right side and a wrong side. The North was right. The South was wrong. In this movie, when I watched it, I'm like, well, they're MAGA. And so they're wrong. Because no, their opinion doesn't matter because it's obscene, it's obtuse, and it is not in line with the Constitution. Donald Trump breaches the Constitution, the only document he was swore to protect. I'm amazed that he skirted the 14th Amendment. Spitting, the Supreme Court spitting on the Constitution. That should have never gone to the Supreme Court. The 14th Amendment is clear. He should not be on the ballot. That's not fucking hard to understand. We act like there's two right sides to every issue. There's not. I know that may be hard because none of us want to be on the wrong side. You know, oh, well, they're not wrong. They're just misguided. They're not educated. They've been duped. They're in a cult. No, they're fucking wrong. Why do good Americans, liberal Americans, progressive Americans have so much trouble calling out things that are wrong? And just looking at these people right in the face and saying, you're dead ass wrong. We won't do it. I will. But so many people will not do it. There's not two sides to every story unless those two sides are right and wrong. You can't have two right people on an issue. Well, he's right and he's right. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. So don't hurt anybody. We'll see you on Monday. Have a safe weekend. Go to the movies. Go see Civil War. Don't forget to leave your comments below. Under 40s have it easier or harder? Or would you go to a doctor who's an influencer?
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carrellcast on your favorite streaming service.